Genesis 2:7 may not be my favorite passage, but it most might be one of the most influential pieces of scripture. It helps me to try to understand who I am as a human being. It's part of the creation story. It's actually part of the second creation story. I remind you that there are actually two creation stories in Genesis. There's the one from the first chapter, which is God making the days. God created light and there was a day, and then all the way through it. In that particular creation story, human beings are said to be kitov. That's the Hebrew. It means very good. We're very good, and we're created in the divine image. In the image of God, we are created, it says. But in the second chapter, the creation of the human being gets a lot more specific. And this is a passage that deals with it. Right before this, it says that Elohim, and that's the same word that Mikey used for God in the Psalm 46 today, Elohim is creating the first human whom we call Adam. And making that first human being, God takes some soil, some dirt, some clay, some dust, and forms, like a potter forms a statue. And then Genesis 2:7 says, and then Elohim breathed into the human being the divine breath blowing into Adam's nostrils. And it says, and then Adam came alive. And what's important about this scripture for me is that it helps me to remember who I am. I am this, yeah? I am flesh and bone and blood and muscle and all the other nervous systems and things. I am material. I am formed of the soil. That's only part of who I am. The other part is this. Is the divine breath that's blown into me. In fact, it's what makes me alive. I'm both of these things at once, simultaneously. And later in Christian theology, we will learn that the writer of the Gospel of John reminds us that Jesus is this beautiful model for us, because the Word, the Spirit, the divine is literally built into the human. The Word becomes enfleshed. This is Christian theology. We are manifesting something, this physicalness. We call the words incarnation. It means that somehow the divine dwells in us. And we need to remember that always. And I think this is really important in understanding this beautiful psalm that was read for us today. So I invite both parts of you, the this part and the part, to come and reflect with me on this beautiful psalm. So in that spirit, would you pray with me, please? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in this way of hope and possibility, this way of love and blessing that comes to us as we walk together in the ways of Jesus Christ, the one who shows us how to incarnate, to manifest the very breath of God in our lives. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Mikey for reading my translation of Psalm 46. You know that I read Hebrew. I don't speak it. I couldn't go to Israel. Modern Hebrew is very different. I do biblical. I only do dead languages. And I can read Hebrew pretty well, but I I remember being on retreat 5 or 6 years ago when I was reading this particular piece of poetry, Sacred Pause. You'll never hear those bells again the same, just by the way. I was reading this particular piece of poetry and I was struck by it, and I wanted to look at the Hebrew, and the more I read the Hebrew, the more relevant it felt. It feels to me, if you were able to listen carefully, it feels to me like this could have been in the Atlantic yesterday because somebody just wrote it. It feels very present to me, and it did then. So I wanted to create my own sense of this translation. And as I was translating it, I realized that there is this simple refrain. And in the King James or the NRSV or the New International Version, other translations, you don't get the refrain that's here. And this might be my folk singer kind of spirit. This is a song, and it's got a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus, because that's what folk singers do. That's what this is. And the refrain was hinted at, but it wasn't popping. And so I tried to do a translation that would pop, would allow the refrain to pop. It's talking about a time, Elohim. It's talking about a time. God is reminding us that in the chaos, and right, it feels like chaos. Nations and governments scream and fight, and we totter on the brink of calamity. Does that ever sound familiar at all to you? Yet God's voice is the patient whisper of peaceful silence. And then the refrain starts. This same refrain, 3 times we get it. Do not be afraid. God has been with our ancestors, and God is here now. And then this marvelous Hebrew word, Selah. Selah. I've taught it to you before because it's this cool Hebrew. It appears, I did some research this week for you, it appears 74 times in the Psalms. And as you know, what I love about it is we have no idea what it means. It's just there. And so we have generations of speculation about what it means. And I have come to choose one of the speculators. And that's the musician in me. Gene could teach us a little better about this, but often in a piece of music, you're reading along and there's this little comma above the score, and it means to breathe, right, Gene? To pause. And scholars think maybe that's what Selah means. It means pause, breathe. But I want you to notice where it comes. Do not be afraid. God has been with our ancestors, and God is here now. Pause. Breathe. In fact, in the third verse, it comes right out and says it. And our quartet sang it to us. So be still and know that I am God. That's the last little bit. And right after that, it says, do not be afraid. And then it asks this lovely little quickie at the end there. So maybe you should sing a song of hope, because God has been with our ancestors and God is here now. Pause. Remember. Consider. Breathe. That is very important to me, and maybe to you too, and it is because I have right here a big fat amygdala. I mean, you can't see it. It's in my brain. It's what scientists tell me. A big fat amygdala. It is the manager of my fear. And if I am not careful, she takes over. I mean, she takes over. And I act from that voice, the fear voice. I'm reacting. And this was really important to early humans. You know, read evolutionary biology. It's great stuff. It's important. You know, when there was a dinosaur or a woolly mammoth or even a barking wolf, I needed to have a fear response. I needed to, you know, with the whole fight or flight thing, get a rock or run away. And what that has developed into is this hardening of a heart that means I'm always either fighting or running. And sometimes that's important. Fear is an important emotion. But this psalm and the teachings of this rabbi named Jesus, they say, don't stop there. Selah. Take a little pause to remember that God has been with our ancestors, and remember that God is here now. Let that truth, let us never forget the beauty and the bounty and the hope and the joy and the possibility that's also present. And if I'm not careful, my amygdala runs amok. And I'm mean and cranky and sometimes downright disrespectful. I think we see it in our culture all the time. But the sacred pause, the breath, the and the music says, take a beat to remember who you are. You are also manifesting the breath of God right here, right now. You have an opportunity to be, and we see this in a new truth, a truth that is incarnate in you. Your life can be something more than just your fear. This is the core of our faith, to be something more than that. Hope. Joy, peace, it's all part of this spirit, and it's here. It's, you don't even have to create it. It's inside you already. But sometimes we need to pause, to breathe, to be still, and to know that all of that is right here. Right now, God has been with our ancestors, and God is here now. Do not be afraid. Selah. Amen.